Welcome, everyone, to lesson number 5 in our study of the Gospel of John. I'm going to begin reading today in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm going to begin at the 19th verse, and I'm going to read down through the 34th verse. If you have your Bibles there, you can follow along with me. And I'm reading from the King James Version, which I paraphrase just slightly. Just take the these and thous and wouldus and shouldus and couldus out of it and make it a little more modern. I'm reading now from the 19th verse. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you that prophet?" He said, "No." Then they said unto him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What do you say of yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And when they were, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why do you baptize then, if you are not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water.' And John bore record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remain on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God.'" Quite a powerful testimony by John. This is John the Baptist. He was the cousin of Jesus. Story of his birth and his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, is told in the Gospel of Luke. Elizabeth was the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary came to visit Elizabeth when Elizabeth was pregnant, and she came to help her out in her pregnancy. She had also had the visitation of the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord had come to Zechariah and told him that his wife, who was a little bit older and beyond childbearing years, would have a child. Zechariah was in the temple. He was a priest, and he was offering incense in the temple, and there was Gabriel standing by the altar of incense. And he said unto him that his wife would bear a child. Well, Zechariah was very much doubting, and when he expressed his doubt, the angel said, "You won't be able to speak until the child is born. You will call his name John." So it happened. We won't go into all that story, but John was born, and then he ended up out in the desert preaching. He became a very famous man in Israel in that day. The Bible says, the gospel says, that all Jerusalem and all Judea, that means everybody knew who he was, they came out to him, and they were baptized by him, and they openly confessed their sins, ex homologeo. This is a word, confession, that we're going to see in the New Testament. It's one of my good words, because it's something that we do. We confess. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We confess our sins. We confess that we're sinners. And confess is a Greek word. It is homologeo. It means, homo means the same or one. Legeo means to say. It says to say the same thing. And so we say the same thing as God. God says, "You're a sinner." And we say, "Well, we agree with that." We say, "Yes, God, you're right. I'm a sinner." And God says, "Jesus is my son." And we say, we confess Jesus. He is your son. Scriptures and the apostles testify that Jesus was raised from the dead. And we confess that. we say the same thing. And so our confession is very important to us, not only the confession of sins, but the confession of Jesus Christ. It means to say the same thing. And so people would come and be baptized for the remission of sins, and they would confess their sins openly. The word used in the baptisms that John was doing was exhomlageo. They confessed out. They confessed openly their sins. It was a great time of revival among the people. And people were coming out. The ordinary people were coming out. Well, some of the Pharisees came out, and some of the religious hypocrites came out there, and John refused to baptize them. He called them a generation of vipers. And Jesus repeated that charge against them, and that he called them a generation of vipers. And he said, why don't you produce fruits in keeping with repentance? That is, true repentance has true fruit to it. It's heartfelt. And not only that, it brings about a change, a turnabout in a person's life. Repentance is another good word that we're going to learn to be familiar with. Repentance is a word, metanoia. Meta is a word that means across or to change or behind. Has several meanings in its context. Noia means mind. It means to, literally means to change your mind. And that's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. It's a change of attitude, of heart. There's a change that goes on when people truly repent. I was going one way. Now I've had a change of heart. I've got a change of mind. I'm going to go another way. I was following the way of sin. Now I'm going to follow the way of Christ. Repentance and confession. Confessing that which God tells us in His Word, that we're sinners and that we need grace. And confessing that Jesus is the only way to be saved, and that there is a narrow and straight way, just like Jesus taught us, and all those things. So people were coming and being baptized by John, openly confessing their sins, and he was having these great, huge meetings up and down the Jordan River, and it says the whole countryside came out. And it sounds like to me, when I read the scripture, that he just had a continual meeting week after week after week after week, and just people came and went. So there was a lot of activity going on. And maybe there wasn't baptizing going on all the time, but there were baptismal services, and John would preach. And maybe there were other preachers there. Jesus came to be baptized of him. Now, John, in this Gospel of John, this is a different John, another cousin of Jesus, but John the Apostle that's writing this, it's called the Gospel of John, but don't confuse that John with John the Baptist. Jesus came to be baptized of John the Baptist. And when John saw him, saw Jesus coming down, he said, look, why, you're coming for me to baptize you? You need to baptize me. But Jesus said, no, to fulfill all righteousness, to do what's right, let's do it. And so he baptized Jesus. And it said that the heavens opened, and a voice came from heavens, and it said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And a dove came down, the Holy Spirit as a dove came down and alighted on Jesus and remained on him, did not fly off. And so it doesn't record that part of it in the Gospel of John, but we have that in the other Gospels. However, John will refer to this incident, so I want you to keep that in mind. So John was baptizing. Well, you know, the Jewish people after Malachi did not believe that after the last of the prophets, and Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, so we say from Malachi to the present, until the coming of Messiah, there would be no prophets. They believed that in the day of Messiah, that a prophet would arise. Or some of them believed prophets would arise. But there had been no one that had been classified as a prophet for 400 years in Israel. And now comes John the Baptist, and people consider him to be a prophet. Well, you know, when somebody comes along like this that has a lot of authority with the people, they draw a lot of fire and a lot of questioning from the religious authorities, because They like all that authority, and they like to tell what people what to do. They were very skeptical of John, but they pretended to believe, and they pretended to go along with him because the crowds really believed in John as a prophet. And it says, this is a record of John. This is about John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And so these priests and Levites from Jerusalem came. Now, they are the priestly class. They would be the Sadducees. Now, they didn't believe in the resurrection, the bodily resurrection. They were sort of the liberals of the day. Their religious and political enemies were the Pharisees. And so the only thing that the Sadducees and the Pharisees could ever get along about was they both wanted to kill Jesus before this was all over. And so the priests and Levites from Jerusalem sent a delegation. Who are you? Because they had this feeling that a prophet had arisen. And they thought maybe this prophet would be the prophet Elijah. But they didn't know. So they sent a delegation. And this is what John said after they said, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. See, he's saying the same thing that he had heard. See, the one sent him baptizing in water, I'm sure informed him that he was not the Messiah, but he was sent to be one who prepared the way for the Messiah. And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And so they kept asking them. He said, well, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Well, why would they think he was Elijah? Well, you know, Elijah was caught up, didn't die. He was caught up in a chariot of fire, one of the greatest prophets of Israel. And people believe that Elijah is going to return when the Messiah comes. You know, when Jewish people have their Seder, their Passover meal, at the table, they have an empty chair. And that's the chair for Elijah. He's the one that's missing out of their company, and they expect return, and they are going to welcome him when he returns, they say. So he says, are you Elijah? And he says, no, I'm not. Are you that prophet? And he answered, no. And they said unto him, who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What do you say about yourself? In other words, we got to come back with an answer. Just coming back and he's just denying everything we say, that's not good enough. Who are you? What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And so he said, go tell him I'm one crying in the wilderness. And then there was another delegation. It says, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So this is a different group than the priests and the Levites, the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why do you baptize then, if you're not the Christ or Elijah nor the prophet? So these guys went back with their answer. That didn't satisfy anybody. And the Pharisees sent a delegation. And they asked him, well, why are you baptizing them? You see, baptism indicated two things to them. One was the Jewish people had all kinds of baptisms. They had baptisms, ceremonial baptisms. They had mikvahs everywhere, we would call baptismals, where people would step down and do a full body immersion. It was a way of becoming ceremonially clean. Women, after they had a baby, for example, needed to have a ceremonial cleansing. And they had to offer a sacrifice in the temple. After their monthly cycle, it was important that they did this. A person became defiled by touching a dead body, or they became defiled by a number of different things. And they needed to be cleansed, and they needed to have a baptism. They washed their hands. They sprinkled their hands before they ate anything. If they touched something that they considered unclean, then they had to be washed. They were very careful about that. So there were those baptisms. But there was also a baptism that was a purifying baptism that cleansed people from their sins. And so when somebody would become a Jewish person, they would become a proselyte. So let's say a Gentile person that got interested in the Jewish religion, a man, he would have to do two things. One, he would have to become circumcised. And the second thing is, that he would need to be baptized. And so that would symbolize the washing away of the sins of the world and a birth into the Jewish nation. And so they knew about baptisms. What was it? They were not used to somebody coming preaching that Jewish people should be baptized for the remission of sins. But John came along and says, you got to be baptized for remission of sins. And it was a heartfelt thing. It wasn't something that people could just do as a ceremonial thing. Well, John answered and said, look, I'm baptizing with water, but there's one that stands among you. You don't know him yet. He's the one who's coming after me. He is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose. There's one standing among you you do not know. He's not ready to come forth right now. Jesus came forth at just the right time in history, at just the right time, and his timing was just perfect. They kept asking him all these questions. It says the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, look, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is a wonderful statement. When he said that to them, the people all knew what he was talking about, a little bit more than we do, just on the surface of it. When we think of the Lamb of God, we think of maybe God's pet, God's darling. And he was God's darling, the darling of God. And we would think of it as we think of maybe having a little lamb around the house, like we have pets or different things that animals that we keep. But that's not how they saw it or how they received that in that day. A lamb represented a sacrifice. The lamb was very important in the religion of the Jewish people. For this nation was taken out of Egypt some 1,500 years before this time. They were in bondage, and a man named Moses was sent to them to lead them into the promised land and to lead them out of captivity. And you know the story, or perhaps if you don't, you could read it in Exodus, how God saved them out of Egypt. But on the night of their deliverance, God said, I'm going to send the death angel around this countryside, and the firstborn of everything is going to die. The firstborn of Pharaoh, the firstborn of all the people, of all the cattle, of all the animals, the firstborn of everything is going to die. But you will be spared if you will do this. If you will take a lamb and you will kill this lamb and sacrifice it and pour its blood out and take a branch, a tree branch, and soak that tree branch in blood and take that blood-soaked tree branch and make a mark of blood on the lintel and the doorpost of your door. And when the death angel comes around, he will see the blood on your doorpost and he will pass over your house and no harm will come to you. That's where we get the term Passover. And so you see, it's the grace of God, a picture of what Christ is going to do for us. He's going to die on a tree. He's going to spill his blood on the cross, on the tree. If we believe in him, we will avoid the coming destruction, avoid the great death that is coming upon all of mankind, save for those who are under the blood of Jesus. And so when John said, look, there's the Lamb of God, this was a metaphor for the people saying, look, in him is your salvation. With his blood will you be protected from death. And he said, look, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Through him your sin will be purged. He does not say takes away the sins of the world. He said takes away the sin of the world. That indicates a great change is coming to those who will apply the blood of Jesus to the doorposts and lintels of their heart in faith, believing in him, and just believe that he can forgive our sins. Not only will we escape that great destruction, but it will take away our sin. Here's the prophecy of Jesus that's repeated in the New Testament and the Old. He shall sit as a refiner of gold and silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi so that they may offer offerings in righteousness. Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. He is light, chasing away the darkness, not only in this world, but in our heart and in our lives. And John cried out and said, I don't think he said this softly. I think he yelled it. He preached it. Look, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And then he went on, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Here he is. Here's the one I'm telling the Pharisees about. When you came and asked me what I'm doing, I'm here to proclaim this man. And here he is. And then he says something interesting. Verse 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. It says, I didn't know who he was, but I was sent so that he could be revealed to Israel. I didn't even know who he was, and I was sent baptizing with water, just telling everybody to look for the one. And in verse 32, it says, and John bore record. This is what he said for the record. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it stayed on him. It abode on him. And he went on to say, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remain on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He said, this will be the sign when you baptize someone and the Spirit comes down and remains on him. That's the one. John went out preaching that the Messiah was coming and didn't even know who it was until when he baptized Jesus, the Spirit came down, the heavens opened, the voice spoke, and this is what he said, and I saw with my eyes. I bear record. I'm here to testify. I'm here to be put on record that this is the Son of God. I think he pointed right at Jesus. This is Son of God. This is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You see, there are two baptisms, folks. One is a baptism of water, and we're all familiar with that. But there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus came to do. He came in to usher a new era, a new dispensation, where the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon people. These are the last days from Jesus till now. And the Bible says in Joel, look, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I'm telling you, Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't even let his apostles go out and do their work after his resurrection. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he said, at first, wait. Go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit that will fall upon you. And they went to Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost came and the church was launched. Well, we'll be speaking more about the Holy Spirit. I want to go on the next couple of verses here. The next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, in other words, he was standing right there with two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked. Actually, this word walked is peripateo. Now, you've heard of people that are peripatetic. They get around. Pateo means to walk. Para means around. Jesus was just walking around the campground there. Like I like to walk around the campground when I go to camp meeting. And sometimes I just like to walk around the camp meeting and talk to people and see what's going on. And he said, John looked upon Jesus as he walked around. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. I don't think I can ignore Jesus. I tried doing that for many years. Just ignore him. Just don't think about it. That's not for me. No. But when I realized the only hope that I have is Jesus Christ, because I live in the city of destruction, just as Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress lived in the city of destruction. Everything is going to be destroyed, folks, according to the Bible. Maybe not in our lifetime, but it's all going to be brought to an end. There is nothing in this physical world that will endure. There is nothing you're doing that will endure. I used to like to paint. I was an artiste. I used to really like it. And I sold a few paintings and here and there and did. But I thought one thing that I was going to do was that I was going to do something that would last longer than I did. Oh, what a foolish thought. There's nothing that's going to last. The only thing that will last is your life with God. The only significance that you can have that goes beyond your lifetime is the significance you find with God. And the only way to find that significance is with the Lamb of God. For everything will be destroyed. The death angel is coming upon the whole world. And those who do not have the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorpost and the lintels of their heart, by faith receiving Him, becoming the children of God, as we spoke about last week, only unto them will be peace and safety and eternal life. I'll see you next week for lesson number 6.